You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. And this is a reading of a collection of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Universal Spirituality and Human Physicality, Bridging the Divide. Collected Works, Volume 202, translated by Matthew Barton. This is Lecture 13, given in Basel on the 23rd of December, 1920. Christianity commemorates in three annual festivals the being whom it sees as giving meaning and purpose to earthly life, and sustaining this life most strongly. Of these three festivals, Christmas makes the greatest claims upon our sensibility, seeking, you can say, to render it most inward. The festival of Easter makes the greatest claims upon our human understanding, our comprehension, and Whitsun, on what we call our human will. We really only grasp the intention of the Christmas mystery by making inward and by deepening feelings that bring home to us our whole human nature, our value and dignity as human beings. Only by feeling an inward enough sense of the nature of the human being within the cosmos can we do justice to the true mood of Christmas. Only by fully comprehending the miracle contained in the Easter mystery, the miracle of the resurrection, can we do justice to this Easter mystery. And only when we discern in the Whitsun festival the strength necessary for developing our will impulses, raising our will above merely earthly instincts, can we see in the right light what the Whitsun festival should signify. The Christmas festival brings home to us the fact that Christ Jesus is related to the Father principles of the universe. The Easter festival shows us that he is related to the Son principle, as we call it, S-O-N. And the Whitsun festival makes clear that he is related to what pervades and surges through the world as spirit. The human being enters his physical existence through the natural powers we also see around us. We know from everything the science of the spirit can teach us that we do not properly grasp this natural order if we only consider its outward physical sensory characteristics. We know that nature is also infused by divine powers, and we only view our natural origins in the right light with true awareness if we can also see divine nature interwoven with the natural world. In doing so, we look up toward the Father principles in nature. The divine worlds permeating and imbuing the natural world can be called Father principles, as they have been in older religious traditions, and are also in Christianity when rightly understood. Whether we look at a small meadow flower or hearken to thunder rumbling in the skies and lightning shooting in a blaze to earth, whether we watch the sun crossing the heavens and the stars shining in the firmament, whether we gaze at the limpid waters of a spring or listen to a rushing river, we can discern in these outward phenomena of nature the mysterious source and origin of all evolution. And we'll then also become aware of what has brought us into this world through the mystery of physical birth. Yet this mystery of birth in the physical world will always retain an inexplicable dimension unless we connect it with our inward experience in commemorating the Christmas mystery, in commemorating childhood itself as this entered humanity through the two Jesus children. What message do we receive from the way these Jesus children lived? We learn nothing less than the insufficiency of merely being born. In other words, just existing in the world by virtue of the physical powers that give birth to all creatures, along with the human being. In gazing upon the childhood of Christ, this holy mystery of Christmas tells us that our truly human existence cannot simply be born in us, but must also be reborn in our inmost soul. During the course of life, we must undergo an experience in our soul that alone makes us fully human. And we can only experience this by dwelling, at the same time, on what entered earthly evolution through the childhood we celebrate in the Christmas festival. We look on Jesus' childhood and have to see that we only became capable of unfolding our full humanity, that is, of connecting what we receive at birth with what we can feel to be loftier than us, because this being appeared among humankind during the course of earth evolution. We can only become fully human through the devotion and love we feel for the being who descended from spiritual heights to unite in great self-sacrifice with human existence. In the early Christian centuries, it was a profound experience for many people to have vision of the Christ being's entry into earth evolution. This brought home to them, in a sense, our twofold origin in both physical and spiritual reality. Jesus passes through birth. The Christian gazes upon an earth-born infant when he looks at the Christ child at Christmas. But at the same time, he knows that this being who is born is different in nature from other human beings, that he brings to all others something they cannot receive through physical birth alone. Our sensibility is deepened when we properly, lovingly, understand the idea that we need to be born twice, firstly through the powers of nature, and the second time through the powers of Christ Jesus. Herein lies our community with Christ. And this alone shows us our full sense of value and quality as human beings. But has this awareness, this feeling about Christ Jesus' birth, remained constant through the centuries? Look around you in the world. It cannot be said that people in our modern era possess the same inwardness of feeling about the Christmas mystery as they still did in Europe just 5 or 6 centuries ago. The Christmas tree is a beautiful thing and speaks warmly to our feelings, but it is not an old tradition, scarcely 2 centuries old. It found its way relatively quickly into European households, but as a Christmas adornment, it has only arisen in modern times. What does it actually represent? It embodies for us in a lovely, agreeable, sympathetic way something that we encounter in a different guise, a less sympathetic and agreeable way, in humanity's recent developments. However painstakingly we inquire into the originating impulses from which the Christmas tree emerged in modern times, we will discover only mysterious feelings underlying it. And all these mysterious feelings tend to show us the Christmas tree as a symbol, more or less, of the tree of paradise. And what does this tell us? That people have grown ever more alienated from the feeling experience they once had in gazing on the crib, the birth mystery of Christ Jesus that took place at the beginning of our era, and that in modern times humanity has come adrift, in a sense, from the notion of being reborn in the soul. This modern humanity of ours now wishes to look away from the Christ tree, which represents the cross, and look back instead to a source that as yet knew nothing of Christ, to the origins of humanity on earth, the natural starting point of humanity's evolution. It looks away from Christ, back to paradise, from a celebration of Christmas on 25 December to the celebration of Adam and Eve on the 24th. This has become a beautiful symbol, because humanity's origins in paradise are also beautiful, yet it diverts our attention from the actual birth mystery of Christ Jesus. This focus on the Christmas tree has preserved a great depth and inwardness of sensibility, and every year offers inward solace, renewed in those of goodwill, a comfort that seeks to compensate for a less attractive diversion from the Christ mystery itself in modern times, and for humanity's focus instead on the natural powers of birth at the origins of evolution. Christ Jesus appeared amongst a people who revered Jehovah or Yahweh, the God connected with every aspect of natural existence, who lives in lightning and thunder, the passage of clouds and stars, who lives in the bubbling spring, the rushing river, in the growth of plants, animals, and people. Yahweh is the God who can never give us our full humanity if we bind ourselves to Him alone, for He gives us an awareness of our natural birth, albeit with an eye to spiritual powers that are not solely natural. But He does not give us awareness of the rebirth we must undergo through powers that are not natural, sensory, or physical. We can see, therefore, how modern humanity has turned away from Christ Jesus, for whom no distinction exists between social classes, races, peoples, for whom only a single humanity exists. We can see how modern people's thoughts and feelings have been diverted back to something that had already been overcome by the mystery of Christ Jesus' birth. Two, what underlies the natural powers of humanity's origins, connected with the differentiation of humankind into classes, nations, races. But whereas the Jewish people worshipped the one God, Yahweh, at the time Christ Jesus appeared on earth, modern nations have returned to many different Yahwehs. They don't give it this name, but the worship of principles of nationalism, the sense of separation into distinct nations, and an accompanying national pride amount to the same thing. And now we see how these nations engage in bloody warfare with one another, yet each often invokes Christ. In fact, it is not Christ they are appealing to at all, but one among many Yahwehs, not even the one Yahweh, but just one Yahweh. Humankind has simply gone back to the Yahweh principle. People have forgotten the progress implicit in advancing from the Yahweh principle to the Christ principle. The Christmas tree leads us beautifully back to the origins of humankind, while the Yahweh principle, laying hold of nations today, leads us back in an ugly way. These nations, in fact, in an inner falsity of feeling, often invoke a Yahweh when they call upon Christ. The name of Christ is terribly misused today, without anything like the real deepening of sensibility we need in order to really plumb the depths of the Christmas mystery. We must come to clear realization of the need to rediscover this deepened feeling for Christ Jesus. We need a new understanding of old traditions, also in relation to the birth of Christ Jesus. The coming of Christ, of Jesus, is proclaimed to two types of human being at the Christmas festival, though, of course, these two embody the same single humanity, the poor, untutored shepherds in the field, who possess only simple common sense and a simple sensibility, and the wise kings from the Orient, that is, from the land of wisdom. To these latter, the coming of Christ is proclaimed through their highest grasp of wisdom, their reading in the script of the stars. Thus Christ Jesus' coming is proclaimed both to simple shepherd souls and in the loftiest wisdom of the three magi from the Orient. The profoundest meaning lies in this contrast of a proclamation to simple shepherds on the one hand and to the wisest of the wise on the other. Let us look at each of these kinds of annunciation. The shepherds have an inner vision of the bright angel. Their faculty of inner sight is awoken, their clairaudience is awoken. They hear the profound words which will become for them the meaning of earthly life in future times. The God in the heights is revealed to them, and they learn of the peace that will hold sway among human beings of good will on earth. Without possessing any learning or wisdom, these poor, simple shepherds, through a capacity that rises up in their souls, have a feeling experience of what is revealed to the world. And the three magi from the Orient have the same revelation, but in their case, by perfecting the wisdom that could be achieved until the time of the mystery of Golgotha, by the subtlest observation of the passage and courses of the stars. The shepherds read within the human heart, penetrating to its profoundest depths, where they become clairvoyant, so that the power of their heart's vision reveals to them the advent of humanity's Savior. The kings, on the other hand, gaze upward to the whole broad canopy of the heavens. They know the secrets of breadths of space and evolution through time, and have achieved a wisdom enabling them to sense and decipher these secrets of space and time. And here the Christmas mystery is revealed to them. This tells us that what lives within us and what lives outside us in the breadths of space flows from the same source. Both forms of vision were declining in the period leading up to the mystery of Golgotha. The clairvoyant powers, rising from human hearts, were still strong enough in the shepherds, as the story tells, for them to hear the angels' voices singing of God revealed in the heights, in the heavens, and of peace on earth among people of goodwill. The shepherds whom karma or destiny had led to the place where Christ was born still possessed the last vestiges, if you like, of a clairvoyance arising from inner piety. And then this Christmas mystery was revealed, too, in last vestiges of primordial sacred wisdom, which in post-Atlantean times first flourished in the ancient Indian civilization, then especially amongst the Persians and subsequently the Chaldeans, and which still lived on in a culture to which the three magi of the Orient belonged, a very ancient primordial wisdom, which encompassed the world in its dimension of time and space, a wisdom to whose loftiest realms these wise magi could still raise themselves. But in the fifth post-Atlantean epoch, both these sources of wisdom were failing. What led to inner vision in the poor shepherds, and to insight into the mysteries of space and time in the wise kings of the Orient, is now no longer alive in humanity in general. We have been obliged instead to discover the human being as such, unaided and dependent on his own resources. As humanity, we have been obliged to pass through times bereft of the divine, so as to find freedom in the lonely, abandoned condition of human existence. But we must find our way back again to a connection, on the one hand, with the highest wisdom of the Magi from the Orient, and on the other, with the deeper vision emerging from the shepherds' hearts in the angels' annunciation. All powers evolve. What has become today of the clairvoyant intelligence which the wise kings of the Orient developed into their astrology, into their own form of astronomy? We fail to understand human evolution if we do not study such things. Today this knowledge has become our abstract arts of mathematics and geometry, the abstract forms nowadays taught in school, in geometry and mathematics, are the last remains of capacities whose living glories and cosmic light were mastered by the ancient wisdom that led the three magi to Christ. Outer vision has become an inner faculty of thinking about spatial and temporal relationships. Whereas the magi of the East were capable of calculating when the Savior would be born, using their seership to decipher the mysteries of space, our modern astronomers, their successors, merely calculate future eclipses of the sun or moon and such like. And whereas the poor shepherds in the field raised themselves in inwardness of heart to a vision of something far removed from them, a vision of the Christmas mystery, the capacity to hear the heavenly annunciation, all that remains to modern humankind today is perception of external, sensory nature. The simplicity of the shepherds has developed into and been succeeded by external sensory perception, in the same way that astronomers' calculation of future eclipses has succeeded the wisdom of the three magi. The shepherds in the fields were equipped with deepened feeling, a heart vision that allowed them to perceive the Christmas mystery. Our contemporaries today are equipped with telescope and microscope. But no telescope or microscope will give us insight, as the shepherds' hearts did, into what solves humankind's deepest riddle. No prediction made possible by calculations of sun and moon eclipses will enable us to grasp the course of world evolution. As did the star wisdom of the Magi from the Orient. It is wonderful to experience how all that has been sundered and differentiated within humanity flows together again in unified human feeling when we see that the untutored experience of the shepherds, in the piety of their hearts, is the same as what came to expression in the highest wisdom of the Magi from the Orient. And it is marvelous to see how these two realities are placed side by side in Christian tradition. The two paths which enabled humanity to understand the birth of Christ have been lost in modern times. We have returned from the crib to the Christmas tree, to the tree of paradise, and from the Christ who belongs to all humanity, to national gods, who are merely so many Yahwehs and not Christ. But just as the profoundest depths of our being reveal what is a common possession of all humankind, so equally true is the fact that this common possession is revealed through all breadths of space and all mysteries of time. In the depths of our being is something which speaks only of our humanness and erases all human differences. Only there, in these depths, do we find the Christ. And a wisdom exists that encompasses the world as a unity, encompasses space and time, and is greater than all other wisdom relating to distinct and separate aspects of existence. And this is the star wisdom that leads us to Christ. What enabled the shepherds on the one hand, and the Magi on the other, to find their way to Christ Jesus, is today needed again in a new form. In other words, we need to deepen our external perception of nature through what the human heart can develop as spiritual insight into the natural world. Powers that arise from the piety and reverence of the human heart must lead us to perceive what at present we only scrutinize through microscopes, telescopes, X-rays, and so forth. If we do so, then growing plants, the rushing river, the bubbling spring, the lightning and thunder in the skies will no longer be something we observe with indifference, but instead all will speak to us. Meadow flowers, the lightning and thunder in the cloud, shining stars and radiant sun will stream into our eyes, ears, and hearts in words that are a kind of summation of all our perception of nature, announcing to us nothing less than the revelation of God in the heavenly heights, of the peace that will come to human beings of goodwill on earth. A time must come when observation of the natural world emerges from the arid, prosaic, clinical mode as practiced in laboratories, and is revitalized by a quality we can no longer acquire as the shepherds in Bethlehem did, but that will be vouchsafed to us in the utterances of plants, animals, stars, springs, and rivers. The whole of nature, you see, proclaims what the angel of Annunciation uttered, that God is revealed in the heavenly heights, and peace can come among human beings of goodwill on earth. We need what the Magi acquired from their observation of the stars, and must awaken it within us. Just as we must hearken to nature outside us, learning to hear the angels sing again from the surrounding natural world, so, likewise, we must become able to gain from within us an astronomy, a solving of the riddle of the cosmos, through imagination, inspiration, and intuition. We need to develop a science of the spirit, an esoteric science that draws upon our inner human nature. We must fathom the nature of our own intrinsic being. and this being must speak to us from world evolution through the mysteries of Saturn, Sun, Moon, Earth, Jupiter, Venus, and Vulcan. We must feel a universe arising within us. Since the mystery of Golgotha, our vision of the profoundest mysteries of the world has undergone a reversal, an inversion. There is an old way of depicting the heavenly spheres, which existed already amongst the Persian magi. They gazed up to heaven and saw the actual zodiac constellation we know as Virgo. But looking into it, they spiritually perceived what can only be physically seen in the constellation of Gemini. This wisdom was one that lived in people's ability to hear or perceive a harmony between the constellation of Virgo and that of Gemini at right angles to it in the quadrant position. Thus, in place of the constellation of Virgo, the Virgin was depicted with two ears of corn, yet also with the child, as representative of the twins, Gemini, and of the two Jesus children. This was an astrological perception, particularly in ancient Persian times. In Egypto-Chaldean times, people gazed up to the constellation of Leo, in the same way as Persians had looked toward Virgo. But now in the quadrant position of Leo was Taurus, and thus arose the Mithraic religion, bull worship, due to spiritually perceiving the constellation of Taurus in the physical constellation of Leo. In Greco-Roman times, Cancer played the role that Virgo had played for the Persians, and now, gazing on the Cancer constellation, people spiritually saw the constellation in the quadrant position, that of Aries. Then came the inversion, and things took a different course. Until Greco-Roman times, until the mystery of Golgotha, astronomy was something that could be developed as an outward science or discipline. In those times, human cognition was such that one could look out into space and discover the secrets of the starry worlds, the secrets of time and space. And likewise, one could live one's way into the human interior and arrive at perception of inner secrets through piety of heart. In Greco-Roman times, this turned around, so that what was formerly experienced inwardly now increasingly had to be experienced in perception of nature outside us. We need to acquire as much piety toward the revelations of nature as the shepherds had in their hearts. In the same way that they formed an inner eye of spirit, EYE, within them, we must do the same in relation to the natural world without. And on the other hand, we must also take the Cancer path, arriving at an inner astronomy, so that drawing on the inner powers of vision within us, we can awaken perception of world evolution through the stages of Saturn, Sun, Moon, Earth, Jupiter, Venus, and Vulcan. This is an astronomy drawn from within, as formerly astronomy was drawn from without, and a piety toward natural phenomena, as formerly the shepherds developed inwardly in their hearts. If we can deepen what approaches us so unspiritually in observation of the natural world, we can at the same time revitalize and render creative our dry and abstract experience of mathematical and geometrical forms, once again raising mathematics through inner experience to the former glories of ancient astronomy, and deepening observation of the natural world with a reverent warmth of heart, such as the shepherds in the fields knew. Then inwardly we can feel what the Magi experienced outwardly in the stars, and become as reverent in gazing upon the natural world outside us as those shepherds in the fields. In reverent observation of outer nature, in loving compass of cosmic evolution within, we will find our way once more to the Christmas mystery, as the shepherds found their way to the crib through their inward piety, and the Magi found it by growing wise in learning to read the outer script of the world. the path to the Christmas mystery has to be rediscovered. Toward nature we must be as reverent as the shepherds were in their hearts. In our inner vision, we must become as wise as the Magi became in their observations of planets and stars in space. We must develop within what the Magi developed without. In our reciprocal relationship with the world, we must develop what the simple shepherds in the fields developed in their hearts. And then we will find the path, the right path, to a deeply felt sense of Christ, to a loving comprehension of Him. Then we will find the path to the Christmas mystery. And then, too, with the right thoughts and feelings, we can place beside the tree of origin from paradise the crib that speaks to us not only of how we have entered the world through natural powers, but how, too, we can only become aware of our full humanity by being reborn. In speaking of the Christmas mystery nowadays, we must call on humanity in a future-oriented way. We live in grave times and must realize how important it is for us to become fully, truly human. As yet we have not achieved what the wisdom of the Magi made fully inward experience, and what the piety of the shepherds allowed to flow completely into the outer world. The social question we face today approaches us with fearsome urgency. In recent years, terrible things have occurred in the social realm, and these things will grow ever more dire. Only somnolent souls can ignore these threatening developments. Europe is in the process of becoming a cultural rubble heap. Only if people succeed in developing their authentic humanity in social community will Europe emerge from its chaotic conditions. And the only way they will manage to do so is by deepening their sensibility, becoming more inward in their feelings, and finding as much reverence for the phenomena of nature as the shepherds in the fields possessed when their inwardness allowed the angel to proclaim to them the revelation of God's in the heights and of peace on earth. With these powers alone can we live in a truly social way. Only by making inward experience what we perceive in breaths of space and cycles of time, so that all people see the true being and nature of the universal spirit in the same way that everyone, whether Chinese, American, or European, sees the same sun, S-U-N. There is one sun for all. And it would be ridiculous for the Chinese, Russians, Central Europeans, or French to each stake a claim on their own particular different sun. And like the one sun, the sun being who sustains humankind is one too. Whether we look out into far breadths of space, therefore, or deep into the most profound inner secrets of the human being, we find that humanity must be unified and united. What is made manifest in the outer world, even its most spiritual aspect, does not speak of humanity's differences, nor of strife. And what speaks in our deepest interior likewise does not speak of strife and difference. Within their attentive hearts, the shepherds in the fields could hearken to the voice proclaiming the revelation of Godhead to them from the universe's widespread phenomena. Could hear that peace would come to people of goodwill if they absorbed the Godhead into their own souls. The same thing must proclaim itself to modern humanity from the whole scope and panorama of natural existence. Star mysteries spoke to the Magi from the Orient, telling them that Christ Jesus had been born here on earth. This too must proclaim itself to modern humanity, and can only do so where we carefully attend to what can open within our souls and be revealed there. We need a new path. Once again a voice is asking to be heard, and saying, quote, change your ways of seeing, look upon world evolution in a new way, close quote. If we do so, if we look with insight at the developing humanity to which we ourselves belong, we can embark on discovery of the secret revealed both to the shepherds and the initiates, or wise men, and the secret will be vouchsafed to both our inward and outward vision. By sufficiently deepening both our inward and outward vision of the world and the cosmos, by discovering an inner magi wisdom to guide us as the kings from the Orient were guided by their outward wisdom, and by discovering an outward wisdom that guides us in reverence as the shepherds in the fields were guided, we can find the right inner feelings to look upon what lies in this mystery, to understand that Christ, as he would become, was born for all, without any of the differences or distinction that otherwise exist among humankind, that he arose out of humanity itself, as it were, to enter into solitude. We must rediscover the secret of Jesus and Christmas by cultivating within us everything that must nowadays come to expression. We must discover within ourselves the light of Christmas, as the shepherds in the fields witnessed the light of angels. And, like the magi from the Orient, we must find the star through the power of a true science of the Spirit. Then the single unified path to what the secret of Christmas contains will open to us, reminding us of our rebirth as human beings. Let us work to ensure that the Christmas mystery is reborn among human beings, for at the same time we will also truly comprehend the secret of the rebirth of our true being and nature. We can learn this in a remarkable way, in a gospel not acknowledged by the Church, where it is said that the Jesus child spoke certain words to his mother immediately after his birth. Today we relate in the right way to the infant lying in the crib, when we really hear the words he wishes to speak to us, quote, "Awaken the light of Christmas within you, and then this light of Christmas will also appear to you in the outer world, in community with your fellow human beings." Close quote. End of Lecture 13.